Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you that man's faith will not be based on my words, but your spirit and power. Thank you, God, that I believe you said, and I humbly say this, that you said today, we need to talk about resurrection life. And so I pray that by your spirit, that you will bring resurrection life. Thank you that we may see it in your word, that we will also experience this, Lord. Not be something that tickles the ears, but something that actually stirs faith and brings forth resurrection in lives, in Jesus' name. We commit the time to you and say, Lord, have your way. We commit the seed to you and say, thank you for good fruit that will come, in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Amen. So, as I said, the Lord laid resurrection and life on my heart. We are busy with our new theme somewhere there. New life, and I need not say too much about that. Go watch the other sermons online if you're interested of why the Lord is saying new life in this church community. I think today it's very applicable, and I'm just ready for amazing fruit that will come. Not man-made stuff, not numbers and hype and flesh and loose flesh, but substance, gospel, new life, works of God. And we prayed earlier, and I said, Lord, please bring revival. Revival is not always being stayed in the Spirit, even though I would love to have more of that. It's not always the gift of the Spirit. It's sometimes just to live the same life in the darkness or behind closed doors that you live in public.
Yeah.
Sometimes that little bit of character is revival. And then I'm like, revive me, Lord. So I don't know if you are keen on new life and revival, but I pray that the Lord will bring that and give that to us. So at the beginning of the year, first few messages. The first one the Lord said to me, a shield of faith. We still need a shield of faith in 2021. And the Lord is calling us as his church to stand. Who's found it difficult to stand this last year? Often. Or in moments. Emotion.
The pressure was on.
The boat was shaken, to say the least. And it's not always that easy to stand, but I believe the Lord is calling us as a church to stand. And wherever you are, whatever spheres of influence you have, as a people of God, we're called to stand. And I was so blessed by it. This wasn't like a show for a memo. But then, Heinrich last week also shared a sermon of exactly the same thing. He started off with the people of God needing to stand. I was like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And so the Lord is challenging us, but he's then also equipping us, and I believe he will empower us to stand. The word there says in Ephesians, that he will strengthen us by his might to stand. So, who of you are honestly able to say that I am standing in faith at the moment? My hope is good. That's great. Who knows people that need to be stirred again, to be touched again by God to stand as believers? Amen. We need to pray for them. And so, we need to look at what this means. Now, new life, we said, is what the Lord is as a foundation giving to us. And what does this word life actually mean? Now, in 2018 already, who's heard me throw the word Zoe life or Zoe life around quite often? Okay, cool. That all started in 2018 for us as a church community. For those listening on the MP3 or those that are new, I quickly want to repeat because it's important when we say new life. It's not just a cute hashtag, something you wear with a t-shirt, something you say to kind of sound hip. It actually has substance meaning. And it's a matter of life and death. Now the word life, if you go look at the New Testament in Greek, has three possible meanings. One is bios, the second one is psyche, if I trust Google in pronunciations, and the last one is zoe. I say zoe because I come from Belgium, so please just excuse the word, it just sounds like zoe. So zoe life. It's the one we're heading off. Now, bios life is very simple. If you see a little plant growing through the ground, if you see your kid, the breath of life that is in your lungs, your physical body, that is bios life. That is where the word biology comes from. So we need to make sure, is it biology life that I'm looking for? Then the second one is psyche or psychological life, and that is your soul. That is a life that consists or then has to do with your soul, being your mind, will and emotions. And the last definition, Greek definition for life is Zoe or Zoe. As I've said, that is God-like life. It is divine, it is only of God, it's God's breath, it is from no man, no other place but God. one that if we worship, that we offer. That's the one that when you drink it, when you eat it, you're satisfied. That's the well, Samaritan woman at the well, that's that type of drink. As you had Doppelskin, you see how much you sip? Devil's own. Maybe we should get that up. But you, that's how I got your attention.
Shocking, guys.
I haven't seen some of you in church for about a year, and you laugh at those jokes. But anyway, so we offer Zoe love. That is what we want. We want to be satisfied on an inner man, and it's only a God-breathed life. I call it the God kind of life. So when we, throughout the year, and I'll repeat this because I might forget it. So throughout this year, when I speak about life, let's remember those three ones. Bios life, Sekhir, or psychological life, and then Zoe life. We need Zoe life. So who knows people that's got Bios life, Sekhir life, but no Zoe? Amen. Do you know them? Who of you have been a person like that? Who sometimes find yourself in that position? Who's ever tried to get Sekhir life or psychological life, so like listening to blues and mellow music, trying to find life or something that satisfies you? Who's ever thought that it's only in the flesh that you'll live? I think all of us. And then we need to come to that place again where we realize, as we realize today in worship, I need God to breathe life. So that's the foundation, just to make sure when we talk about resurrection life, that we know that we need Zoe life. Now, resurrection life, who knows about the resurrection? Who do you think about when I say resurrection?
Jesus.
Cool. Who gets totally excited when I say resurrection? Yeah, you're like a ball, like a screw. I think, and I will not even be able to share probably a quarter of what resurrection life and the power of resurrection life really is. But I think if we had a full revelation of the resurrection life of the Spirit of God that we carry, that we have, our lives might look a slight bit different. And so, Lord, in this moment, I even pray again, Lord, give us a revelation of resurrection life by your Holy Spirit. Zoe life, resurrection life that we carry. Lord, come and awake us again. To walk out of this place with that revelation of what this powerful, supernatural life is that we can. Amen.
I really trust that we need that and need to walk in that. And so, in preparation, the Lord just tugged on me another two big old definitions, but we need them often. But the Lord just reminded me to have a look at the definition again of resurrection. And you might think, well, that's pretty obvious. But I looked at the Strong's definition. It's not on there, but it's anastasis. But what caught my eye was the first thing that actually is written down. If you look at the definition, it says standing up again. To be resurrected is to stand up again. And immediately, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to realize the Lord said to us at the beginning of the year, stand. He said to us about this year, the new life, and for today, and this season, maybe this moment, for some of us in this church, maybe even wider, he's saying resurrection life is important. Maybe by our spirit you need, or you may have, resurrection life. And then the definition, again in the Greek, I believe, he's saying to us, I call you to stand. I don't only call you to stand, but I empower you to stand.
Amen.
Who's seen death? Maybe not physical death, in areas of your life. Petri mentioned job loss, insecurity, strife. There's many places where death, figuratively, obviously resurrection is a physical thing. It's not just a metaphor, but it's also a metaphor. So that God can bring resurrection in areas of your life. Who's seen in a relationship death? Amen? Who's actually asked God, please bring resurrection for that relationship before? I guess all of us. And so,
I want you to start working with me, because as you know by now, we're going to pray at the end. We're going to trust that we're going to partner with God's prophetic word. We're going to partner and say, Lord, even though I don't see this.
Ezekiel, looking at those dry bones, thinking, what? You might be thinking about a certain situation, relationship, a social issue. Even looking at our country, thinking, what?
But I believe by the Spirit, if you humble yourself and if you say, yes, I want to hear what you say, the Lord wants to empower us in areas that people can stand again, that situations can stand up again, that the kingdom in situation can stand up again. Now, you said already, when we think resurrection, we think Jesus. And so we all know in all four of the Gospels, the ladies came the next morning and he said, whoa, relax, he's not here, he has risen. Exactly as he said. Matthew 28:5, he is not here, for he has risen. And that is a pinnacle point. That is a main principle, if not the main principle of our faith. How often do you think about the resurrection? How often do you think about the resurrection? How often do you think about the petrol price? How often do you think about how much data you've got left on your cell phone control? How often do you check Facebook? How often do you check your bank account? Or your budget? Except awful. You know it right now. This is what I'm saying. How often do I meditate about the reality of the resurrection? Yes. I might look at my bank account much more. I might keep my ear to the news and the stats on COVID-19, said with respect. How often do we meditate about the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in our midst? Mark Patterson said the following: resurrection is the central tenet. I needed to go check what's the synonym for tenet. It is the main principle. The main principle of the Christian faith. And it isn't something we just celebrate on Easter. Resurrection is something we celebrate every day in every way. Church, stand up.
Not really.
Church, stand up. Realize again, meditate upon the Word of God. By the Spirit of God, I implore you again to realize the resurrection power. We'll come to what that is just now. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your lives. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since death came through a man, resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And so we see the beautiful justice that sin and death enter through
Adam.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm of Adam's soul.
Just like a jerky funeral.
Came through Adam, but yet through one man, justice came through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sin and death, we'll have a look at that now, was eradicated, was broken, and the keys were taken back of authority by Christ. Now, resurrection life brings forth new life. New life that we celebrated and chatted about 2 weeks ago, when we get born again. That is because of the death and resurrection of Christ. And we know this by now because culturally we grew up with it, but we don't fathom it anymore. We don't meditate about this. Upon the spiritual relevance of this and how powerful it actually is. I don't put on resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds all hogwash, in fact, if you put it that way. But if we honestly clothe ourselves with that, I think our lives might look a slight bit different. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. A new birth into a living hope. For those of us that feel shell-shocked, traumatized after this last year, I want to remind you that the Lord has given you a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, we get a new birth. Who's still excited about the new birth? And then, Jesus came to conquer sin and death. Why is that important? Because we need resurrection because of sin and death. Whatever areas we thought of earlier, whatever death, whatever stench, whatever issue, whatever mess you have seen in your life is because of sin and death that has entered. Now we need to say, Jesus, come. Now I need you. Please come and bring in this situation, in this relationship, in this business, in this fellowship, in this friendship, come and bring your life. Come, bring your life. Let's quickly move on, because this is the power that lives in us. Romans 8. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, I'll repeat that. Listen up. If you forget, don't forget everything. But if you forget a couple of things, don't forget this. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead, God, will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. When you worship today, be honest. When you worship today, yeah, did you stand in the fullness of the revelation of the spirit of resurrection in your life? I did. There was moments. Who of you can honestly say, yes, I was just fully standing in that true eternal revelation? Why not? Thank you, Lord, that you will help us, lovingly help us to stand in that revelation. Now, we know if we think resurrection, we think Jesus. Who else do we think if we say resurrection? Quickly. Don't have lots of time.
Lazarus.
Who?
Lazarus.
Lazarus, yes. How did I miss that? Sorry. I just saw the... Yeah. Lazarus, obviously. Who knows the story of Lazarus? Let's quickly see one or two things in that particular story. So the sister sent a message to him. Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, the sickness will not end in death, but to the glory, for the glory of God. Who sees a mess in death in their life in a situation? Who can think of one? Imagine the Lord preaching today saying, this will end in the glory of God. I repeat this. Listen up. This is for your taking. You need to decide now. Who sees death and destruction in an area of their lives? I'm not saying it will be, but it might be that the Lord is saying today, if you grab hold of this by faith, if you meditate upon this truth, and you say yes to this revelation, by my Spirit, this might be turned around for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Both Edna and I come from broken homes. Very much a mirror image. Both of our parents got divorced when we were in grade 2. We were 7 for the exact same reasons. She thought the night at the bar when I told her my story, I was mocking her because it was the exact same story. Now, we've been through our trials and we're not perfect, but we can come to God and say, we see the stench of sin and death in our life. We've felt it. We've had the pain. And yes, we still do make mistakes, but God, Spirit of resurrection, will you come for the glory of God and turn those stories around? Are you stirred for resurrection life in your life? Anyway, back to Lazarus. You know the story by now. Jesus hears he's sick. He then what? Chills out for 2 days before he goes back. Then when he gets there, they pretty ticked off at him. We look at verse 21. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Hey, there's something to listen up. Whatever you ask of God, he will give you. For us, mere mortals, with the Spirit of God, to ask in line with his will, obviously. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day. In other words, when believers get resurrected at the end of this whole story. But he says, no, I'm not speaking future, I'm speaking now. And he replies the following. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. I am the resurrection and the life. If you look at that mountain, if you look at that mist, if you look at that arena, if you look back at whatever it is, or whatever impossibilities you think you might be facing, who do you need to look to? Even for Lazarus' sake. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And you know the rest of the story. He then says, come Lazarus, stay till after start. And he comes hand and feet, even stinking after 4 days, and he's resurrected. But now, on Wednesday morning, I was waking up, and who's ever heard a word of God when you're kind of falling asleep or waking up? And you're not sure, am I awake or am I asleep? Who's ever had that? Amen. Who wants that?
Great. Lord, please speak to all of us.
Thank you, Jesus. And so I was waking up and I just heard the words, Talitha kum.
This is my spirit. I immediately know the story. But I was meditating and I was preparing this message and I didn't look at this particular story that we're going to look at now. But it just stirred my faith. I woke up later on and worked on my sermon again. And I went to go read this particular story that we're going to have a look at now. And I knew that the Lord is saying to those that want to hear, I believe, test the word, that it's a Talitha kum moment. And you'll
understand that just now. Now, here's two ladies. I need to refer to both because I believe it's applicable. But listen up. Take this home for us. There's two ladies here in Mark 5. It's a long part, quite a lengthy part of Scripture. But I'm going to read through everything. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will break open what you need for today. So that our faith can be strong. So that we can say yes to what God is saying. Verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and kept begging him, "My little daughter is at death's door. Come and lay your hands on her so she can get well and live." Now, as a parent, you know that really sucks when your kids are going through tough times. And you really get desperate. Who's been in that desperate place? I often find myself, I hate it. Thank you, Lord, for your blood over all of us. But I hate those positions. And so I know exactly how Jairus and I have felt. So Jesus went, verse 24, with him. And a large crowd was following and pressing against him. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years. Here's now a parallel story. Of 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. So she had a bleeding issue. She had a bios issue. And she's asking everybody for a bios, biology, physical, natural cure. She's wasted all of her money, and she's not better. In fact, she's worse. What did she need? She needed Zoe. She needed Zoe life, resurrection life for the soul. Let's read on. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. For she said, "If I can touch his robes, I'll be made well." Do we still have that hunger in us? Are we so desperate still? I don't believe we always need to be in a desperate state, but man, oh man, we sure need to be desperate for God sometime. Verse 29. Instantly her flow of blood stopped or ceased, and she sensed that her body, her body was cured from her affliction. Now Jesus then quickly realized, man, somebody touched me. His disciples are, "What? Everybody's touching me." He's like, somebody touched him. Because power had left him. And then he's like, "What's going on?" And she realized, "Oops, I'm going to be caught out. Because I touched his head, I got healed," and she comes to the party. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well." Guys, listen up. "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your affliction." Zoe, like, boom, coming, being the answer to the bios issue, life issue, new life, resurrection life. And by the way, if you had this blood flowing issue back then, you couldn't be in the public eye. You needed to be outside the city gates. You weren't allowed there. In other words, you needed to bow down. You couldn't stand proud. And in that instant moment, Zoe life comes and she could stand again because Jesus stepped in. The resurrection of life stepped in. Where does he need to step in? Into your life. Moving on, if I can find my place. Verse 35. While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house, Jairus' house, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Firstly, that's very rude. If ever you need to give bad news, don't give it like that. It's really bad. But anyway, so he says, they say, "Your daughter's dead, don't bother Jesus anymore." Anyway, verse 36. But when Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Again, take note. Don't be afraid, only believe. Church, don't be afraid, only believe. There's life in this. Don't be afraid, only believe. He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. Then came to the leader's house and saw the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but asleep. They started laughing at him, but he put them all aside, outside. It's beautiful how he cuts out the voices of unbelief in his life.
Amen.
In that moment, at least. He took the child's father, mother, those who were with him, who had faith, and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, this is the word I believe the Lord is saying to us today, Talita Kum, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. I want to say to the Christians that need this, hear this message. I want to say to the heirs of our lives, believe the Lord is saying to us, get up. Not by man's voice. Not by some observant sermon of some guy, but by the Spirit of God. Stand up. Stand up. You know, by the way, there's other people that need you to stand in this time. And by the Spirit of God, the Lord is calling us. Now that Talita, if you look at the Arabic, can actually mean little lamb. And so it's a tender moment where he says, amen, I see what's happening here. I see the suffering. And it's beautiful how the lady with the issue of blood came and she fought for herself. She had faith for herself, but she fought hard to be able to stand. And yet in this beautiful story of the little girl, there was somebody else that said, I will stand in the gap. Jairus, the father, saying, I'm going to go hard after Jesus so that you can stand. I want to ask you, where are you going to go hard after Jesus so that you can stand again? Where are you going to go hard after Jesus so that other people can stand again? Imagine a nation being discipled because you stood up.
Amen.
Because you went for Jesus. Imagine Europe being ablaze with the gospel because one man, one woman said, I will go after Jesus. I will listen when he says, Talita. Imagine going through many areas of life where there's brokenness and hurt and death and sin. Going to the resurrected Christ saying, I will go hard after you for this, for that, and to see resurrection. For others to stand up again.
Amen.
Right. By the Spirit of God, Lord, show us where. Give us the grace to do so. And give us the faith to follow through. So do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe in the power of the resurrection of Christ? Do you believe that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you?
Yes.
Amen.
Do you want to stand in the gap to go hard after Christ until he says, Talita Kum, to someone else?
Yes.
Now, how do we do that? We know by now. Resurrection life comes where Jesus is, where his Spirit is, where we look to him and nothing else, not to the bios, not to the Sehe, not to the other types of life, but to Zoe life itself. It comes when we seek him for ourselves, which is honorable and good and godly sometimes, or, as I said, sometimes for others. Resurrection life can come where there is hope and faith. Will you stand with me and let us pray? Be quick. If there's an area in your life where sin led to death, physically, emotionally, spiritually, obviously mentally, there's an area or areas that you think of now between you and the Lord, and you say, Lord, please whisper, please shout, Talita Kum. Just raise your hand and say, yes, I want the Lord to come. Bring new life.
Zebulun over this end. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The area of purity, maybe the area of provision, maybe the area of identity, knowing that I'm a son and a daughter of God and nothing else defines me. Maybe in the area of calling and legacy the Lord wants to do through our life. Maybe in relationship. Thank you, Lord, you see these hands, you know every heart, you know every
dry bone, you know every dead piece of land that seems dead now.
And we just say thank you, Lord, that you will come. Jesus Christ, you are the resurrection and the life, and you will come and you will say to him, you will say, stand. You will bring life again by the breath of God. Not by man's plans, but by your grace. In Jesus' name.
And then if you have someone on your heart, maybe a people group,
maybe an oppressed people, maybe your neighbor, maybe your mom, maybe your dad, maybe your relationship, maybe a sick person that you want to stand in the gap for, either for salvation or for breakthrough, or for a church to be planted, for breakthrough to come. If you have that on your heart now, by the Spirit, just raise your hands and we can come in agreement with the Lord and do that. God, thank you that you don't have favorites. Thank you, Father God, that you are the God of the Word, of the Bible. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you are still here today, the resurrection and the life. You are still here today, the resurrection and the life. Lord, for this church community, our church community, show them that of you. For those that need it in our area, Father God, and for every single one that stands up now in faith. Thank you, God, that we can, by faith, in name Talitaku, stand up. Be resurrected by the Spirit of God. Be resurrected by the Spirit of God. As you said to us all the way back, we planted this church community, not by might, nor by power, but by mercy. Lord, we just humble ourselves, we just go hard after you, as that lady with the issue of blood, as Jairus that pleaded with Christ, we just go hard after you, say, you are the answer. Resurrect, resurrect, resurrect. Bring to life, bring to life. Bring to life. And then we say, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for dreams, for prophetic dreams, for those that need it. Pray for confirmation for those that need it. My mind works to Satan concerning everything that we pray for today. We say it's under the feet of Christ. Seed will not be sown. Thank you for a harvest 30, 60, or 100 fold as you.
God's people said.